So, Audrey, you're going to be very excited about this segment because this is near and dear to your heart and everything like that. When it comes to all things, getting as much international presence in Pittsburgh, getting as many foreign-born people into Pittsburgh, just as much talent into Pittsburgh, and it all comes with mm-hmm. immigration. And I know this is a thing, so I'm going to let you take the control.
Yeah, we have an expert in the house we're going to do a quick deep dive with. And he's been doing this work for a while. So I am pleased to tell you who's in the house.
I'm Joel Pfeffer. I'm a partner at Meyer, Unkevich & Scott, law firm in downtown Pittsburgh, and I'm pleased to be here, Audrey.
It's great. We are going. You've been there and doing work in law for quite a while, right?
I've been there for over 30 years.
That's really?
Fantastic. Yes.
And you have, how would you describe your expertise? What's your niche?
I do a lot of business immigration. Bringing foreign talent to the United States, assisting companies who need foreign talent to bring them to the United States, either temporarily or on a permanent basis.
And so given the backdrop over the last decade in terms of immigration reform and the changes in immigration law or the lack of changes, whatever, I mean, I want you to give us your perspective here. What, you know, we in Pittsburgh have some of the best and brightest people who come to school here, come to learn, get plugged into the community, sitting next to people who are doing amazing things in terms of intellectual property that could change lives and change the world. They want to stay. They very often want to stay, and they're very often they're not from, you know, the U.S.
Okay. There's several steps that they typically take to stay in the United States. A student will apply for optional practical training. That is a period of 1 to 3 years, depending on their degree and the employer that they would work for in a period of training after graduation. They could seek to get an H-1B visa, which is a visa for professionals filling professional positions, being paid the prevailing wage, which they can remain here for up to 6 years. And during that time, they would typically seek to establish that there is no U.S. worker available with to fill their position, or they could establish that they are of outstanding ability, they are in the national interest, they are filling a research position in a company that needs them mm-hmm. and needs them because of their track record in having made a valuable contribution to a field of scientific endeavor. That leads to something called a green card or permanent resident status. And then several years later, they can apply for U.S. citizenship. That's the path they typically take.
Mm-hmm. That's a long path, too. Like, that is...
Is it a long path?
That is a very long path. And particularly if you are from India or China.
Right.
Because we have a quota system in the United States.
Okay.
We only allow in 140,000 people who are in the employment-based immigration categories. So... Putting aside family-based, you are in the cases we're talking, the situations we're talking about, we only allow 140,000. No country can get more than approximately 7% of that number. India is a very large country. It has sent us some very highly talented people.
Right.
And there are many people from India who have gone through the process I've described and are seeking to remain here, but must wait for their turn because there is a big line of people from India having mm-hmm. already exhausted that small percentage of the 140,000 over several years. And looking forward, the people who are starting now could wait up to 10 years for to become a permanent residents of the United States. So that's really one of our problems here in the United States when it comes to seeking foreign talent. China is another country that has a backlog, although not as serious as India. But the numerical limitation – the quota on labor, on skilled labor or unskilled labor, is something that is preventing people from remaining here. During that wait time, they could continue in H-1B status. But most people would like to have their situation resolved quicker than 10 years.
I would think so. That's a long time to wait.
And it's a long time for a, for a company to be waiting.
That is correct.
That's a good point.
There's a long time for a company to wait for talent. And perhaps what is even more difficult for companies is not knowing whether you can get into the pool, for example, of H-1Bs.
Okay.
H-1Bs are subject to their own numerical limitation called a cap, which means we only allow in 85,000 each year of professionals filling professional positions, being paid prevailing wage. 85,000 new such individuals, typically coming out of school or coming off the optional practical training program I discussed a moment ago. And there's a lottery or a computer-aided selection process.
Computer-aided selection.
Yes, not aided. Computer selection process. It's all by
CSP,
computer.
Right?
Yes,
CSP.
Computer selection process that selects the 85,000, 65,000 regular, honest-to-goodness college graduates or people with equivalent experience to equate to a college degree, and an additional 20,000 who have U.S. master's degrees. The government conducts this lottery every year during the first business week of April, and that's going on right now. And attorneys and employers are waiting to see who made the cut and who didn't.
Is it favored by the coasts or anything to that effect?
No, it's all a national lottery.
Okay.
There are two service centers that accept petitions, one in the east, one in the west, but it's all a national lottery.
So what hopes do we have?
Well, there's been talk over the years about comprehensive immigration reform.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember that in the Obama administration.
Yes,
right?
And in the Bush administration.
Right.
President Bush tried very hard
to
get comprehensive immigration reform passed. But in order to get comprehensive immigration reform passed, there are going to be five issues on the table.
Okay, what are they?
Well, the one that we just talked about, employment-based quotas. How many employment-based permanent residents are we going to admit each year? How many do we need? There hasn't been a change in this since 1986.
In the number?
In the number.
Oh, wow.
Number hasn't changed since 1986. And there needs to be an evaluation of how many we need every year and whether there should be a per-country limitation. Should there be, India can only get a certain percentage and back their people up 10 or shorter periods of time in whatever category they're in. That's one issue that's going to have to be addressed. Another one is the H-1B situation, or what I'll call the guest worker programs. Mm-hmm. We have a guest worker. H-1B is really a professional guest worker program.
Right.
We have non-professional guest worker programs called H-2B. Both of those have quotas, limitations, time periods in which you can apply, very complicated process, not certain that you'll get it. There needs to be, what can we do better to stimulate business in the United States, to stimulate innovation? These professionals are necessary for that process, and we need to...
Well, they come here to get educated.
They come here to get educated, and there are certain segments of the political population that wants them to return, and others want them to stay, and that's something that that politically will have to be resolved in comprehensive immigration reform.
Joel, is it possible for that person who can't get the H-1B, if they go back to their country, could still be employed by the company and work with telepresence, or is that breaking the rules?
They can be employed abroad. Our laws only control who works here
inside the borders.
Inside the borders.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let me just cover the other three issues that I think have to be covered. Amnesty, the big one.
Right.
What happens to all the people who are illegal? Is there a path to green card or permanent resident or citizenship? Family-based immigration. Will U.S. citizens still be able to bring parents from abroad without any numerical limitation?
Is that allowed now still?
It's allowed for adult citizens. You can't just have a child here and then become legal by your child bringing you. That's a myth.
Right.
The child has to be 21.
Right.
Okay, so it's allowed.
Interesting. Okay.
But I would say that in comprehensive immigration reform, that's going to be on the table.
Bringing
brothers and sisters is going to be on the table. And the fifth thing that I think will be on the table is E-Verify. Companies E-Verify is a program right now. It's voluntary that requires employers to verify work status for new employees. The Bush administration tried very hard to make it mandatory, but I think that'll be on the table in a discussion about comprehensive immigration reform.
So what changed over the last 30 years in terms of immigration? I mean, at one point, we were letting lots of people into our country, right? And it wasn't job-related. What was the shift? Was the shift after World War II? Was the shift, you know, just to understand some of the trends that have happened?
I would say the shift has become the need for higher skilled or professional level. The technology world needs more people. There are
that's all we hear. Yep,
technologies being addressed, being developed abroad, and we need to bring them here. 30, 40 years ago, we needed unskilled labor. 50 years ago, we needed unskilled labor.
Okay. Now it's skilled labor, which is changed. It makes sense.
And that's become a challenge when the numbers don't adjust.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we got about a minute or so left. I mean, what would be your one big wish that something could be reformed first to help Pittsburgh, help our companies get the talent they need, help us become more vibrant? What would be your big wish?
My big wish would be that H-1B program might be divided into different kinds of companies.
Interesting, right?
A company that engaged in innovation or technology might have a separate set of numbers available to them. Mm. There's also green cards available for highly skilled, exceptional ability, outstanding professors and researchers, people who can research for companies and people who can do work for companies engaged in research. And perhaps expanding those numerical limitations.
Very cool. Jill Pfeffer.
It has been great.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And they can find you on the Meyer Unkovic website, right?
Yes, muslaw.com.
Just that simple. Jill, thank you for stopping by and talking about this.
Thank you for your leadership in this as well.
Thank you.
We're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about the Tech Council at pghtech.org.